John chapter 8. I want to talk about adoption. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually was adopted. So I kind of want to share about my adoption with you here this morning. Now, I guess I should clarify with you. I'm not talking about physical, biological parents. I had basically the same parents growing up until my parents got divorced at 14. But I mean, I had parents. I wasn't adopted to my earthly family. But I did experience a spiritual adoption. So in John chapter 8, and I thought I would honor my spiritual father. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So that's just a little glimpse, but there are many places in the scripture that talk about my previous father, my previous spiritual father was, and I know this is hard to comprehend, but was actually Satan. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we were all sold out to slave to the world and to Satan. And he was my spiritual father who taught me and led me to do things that were not right. In Psalm 51, verse 5, David says, "Surely I was a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And so all of us at one time or another, Satan actually was our spiritual father. And he taught us how to hate and to kill and to lie and to do all kinds of things. Now, sometimes fathers are so bad at raising their kids that the court has to step in. And I've been at court when, like, teenagers have been abused by their fathers, and the court will talk to the teenagers and say, tell us, where do you want to live? Do you want to go back to your father, or do you want the court to allow you to be adopted by a new father?" And so I went on the internet and I was like trying to find out some of the things that fathers do to kids, and I grabbed two here. This was a father who would keep his little kid trapped in the dog's cage, like a little jail, you know. So, you know, you do kind of stuff like that, and the court's going to take your kid off of you. You're abusing your child. And this other one here was the father was teaching his kid how to smoke and drink at obviously a young age. Well, that was Satan. And just as the court often says to fathers, "You're not fit to be a father," or gives the teenager a choice, do you want to go back to, you know, the father that's abusing you and neglecting you and doesn't care for you, or would you like to be adopted? So the Holy Spirit does the same thing. And so the Holy Spirit came to me when I was 18, actually had been wooing and talking to me all along, saying, "Joe, I know how you're living, and I know what it's like under the spiritual father you have, and he's taking advantage of you, he's abusing you, he's leading you down a wrong road. Would you like to be adopted into a new spiritual family?" So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And so the Holy Spirit had been speaking to me for a while, telling me about a new, wonderful family that I could be part of. Romans chapter 8. What's exciting when I got adopted, in verse 15 of Romans 8, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to" what? Fear. This other picture here just reminds me, like, when Satan was my spiritual father, you always live in fear. You know, there's kids that are always fearful. They just don't know what dad's going to be like when he gets home. Is he going to be drunk? Is he going to beat them up? Is he going to yell at them? Is he going to toss them? There's kids that live with the spirit of fear. And so these kids, because They live under fear of dad. When the court steps in and says, we're going to adopt you out, they're very fearful that their new dad is going to be like their old dad. And that, you know, so they're scared to be adopted, that all men are, you know, alike. But God says here, verse 15, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. So when you come into God's family, it isn't God to imprison us in a jail. We don't have that spirit of fear. But you received the spirit of, and I know it says in the NIV, sonship, in most other versions, and if you look at the footnote in the NIV, in my Bible, the footnote is C, it says, and the Greek is adoption. You received the spirit of adoption. And so I was adopted. When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I was adopted into God's family. Now, some amazing things happened when I said to the Spirit of God, who was wooing me and telling me, do you want to be part of another family? Do you want to be adopted? And when I got adopted, one of the first exciting things was what it says here. I'm going to read on. But you received the spirit of adoption, sonship, daughtership, and by him, by the Holy Spirit, we cry what? Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. So this is amazing. Like before I got adopted, God was just out there. God was just some person that I knew God was there. But see, I didn't have a personal relationship with him. But when I got adopted, I got to call him daddy. He became my father. In the Old Testament, they would call God Jehovah and Jehovah Jireh and Yahweh and all these official titles. It wasn't until Jesus came, 53 times Jesus called God my Father. 21 times he called God our Father to his disciples. And 21 times Jesus says God is your Father. That was an amazing concept to the Jewish people, that a God could be your dad, your father. But that's what God does. He adopts us, and we can now call him dad. So my dad, my earthly dad, is 80 years old. 15 years ago, at the age of 65, my dad remarried. And he married a woman by the name of Mary, who he's married to. And Mary had two girls, 7 and 8 years old, that my dad officially adopted. Now, that's strange. There's me and my brother. My brother's 1 year younger than me. And so suddenly, we're like the only children my dad had. We're the ones who called dad, daddy. But all of a sudden, 15 years ago, I got two sisters. And they're adopted. They're official. And it was weird to hear a 7 and 8 year old calling my dad, daddy. And that's been 15 years. They both just graduated from college recently. But one of the privileges of being adopted is, like, the Spirit teaches you that God now is your Father. In fact, you can usually tell people that are Christians by how they talk about God. I'm always suspicious of people that go, oh, yeah, the great Almighty. Oh, yeah, I followed great Jehovah, the old man upstairs and all this. And I'm like, You know, when you come into God's family, I mean, it's like he's your dad. Now, one of the exciting things, verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit tells us we now are sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted into his family. Verse 17. Now, if we are children, if we're actually children of God, then we are what? Heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So I know this sounds exciting. When you get adopted into the family, you get an inheritance. You become an heir of everything that God has. Now, I've been in ministry long enough to tell you that over 32 years, I have been involved in many fights over inheritances. Okay? And I have been amazed how Christians, their parents will pass away, They'll leave like $5,000, like, you know, mom's the last one to go, and all she's got left of her worldly goods is like $5,000. I have seen four grown adults fight over that $5,000 like it is a diamond mine or gold. Like, you're kidding. I mean, they're not going to speak to each other again. Everyone thinks they deserve more money. The oldest says, well, I should get more. I'm the oldest. The daughter says, well, look, I took care of mom when she was older. You guys couldn't help very much, so I should get most of the inheritance. And someone else says, no, you know what? Mom and dad always had to give you extra money because you were always in trouble. And so you got your money 20 years ago. It's now my turn. I get the $5,000. And I'm not speaking. I mean, it's like amazing. So it was weird. 15 years ago, just me and my brother, right? And all of a sudden, my dad adopts two girls. What does that mean? Yeah. Like, oh, no. You know, we're like, we've got to share the inheritance. So, and, you know, it's like, kind of, I know, you know, wrestling, oh, what does this mean? We got two sisters. We never expected this. When your dad's 65, you just don't expect two sisters to arrive. This is what's amazing about Jesus. So the Father, the Heavenly Father, had only one begotten son. He only had one son for eternity. And the Father says to Jesus, in eternity, way before the creation of the earth, hey, Jesus, everything I have is yours. It's you're my only heir. But Jesus says, you know, Father, I know you so desire to have more children. And I'm excited to have brothers and sisters. And God the Father says, of course, they had to work out the whole plan of salvation so that those who really wanted to be adopted, that's technically why God allowed sin to come into the world, so that everyone gets to choose whether they want to follow the Father Satan or come into God's family. And so they planned out the whole work of salvation and all this stuff. But God was like, well, Jesus, it's all yours. And Jesus was like, you know what? I'm willing to share it. I'm willing to allow other sons and daughters, they can be co-heirs with me. I am so open. The exciting thing to have more sons and daughters is way better than all this stuff. I'm willing to be co-heirs and to share the inheritance. It's so opposite of people. I rarely see. I've never been at a family will where they go, oh, no, look, give him more, or I'm willing to share. I never see that. When human nature kicks in, especially when it comes to money, it's like, oh. But Jesus is like, no, I'm willing to share and open it all. It's all mine, but I will share. Come to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. That's amazing. That's why I always tell you, I don't worry about the lottery at all, because I am going to inherit quite a bit of the universe. I'm co-heirs with Christ, because I've been adopted into the wealthiest family that there is. 1 Peter. So, adoption is very expensive. If you're going to adopt a child, it's usually a very expensive endeavor. So it got me thinking, adoptions are usually expensive. I wonder how much it costs God to adopt me. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were, what's the word there? Redeemed. And redeemed in the Greek means bought back. Just so you know, redeemed means bought back. That it wasn't with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, bought back from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Now, I want to stop there for a second. So here's a chart on what adoption costs in the United States. So if you work with a United States agency, like, the average is anywhere from $10,000 to about $40,000. I see independent is about the same. If you adopt in China, it's $20,000 to $40,000. I see Russia is the most expensive. Russia is 40, 45% of parents adopting from Russia pay $40,000 to $50,000, and 35% pay $50,000 or more, up to $100,000. And I've been amazed how much Americans are willing to pay to get a child. It's like $100,000. People borrow money. They borrow everything they can just to adopt a child. And of course, that's why they're trying to get some tax help. You know, they have to pay taxes and all this stuff. And I was like, wow. So I'm like, okay, God, you're adopting, you know, us. How much? And it says he doesn't buy us back. He doesn't redeem us with perishable things such as silver and gold. You see, in some sense, we all belong to God originally, but then because of sin, we were sold off to another father, Satan. And so when Christ died on the cross, he redeemed us. He buys us back, okay? And that's what the word means. So it was kind of, you remember Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Your soul is worth more than the whole world. All the gold and silver and diamonds and emeralds in the whole world, your soul is worth more than that. And so we were sold off to Satan. And in some sense, Satan was like, a soul of a person is worth more than the planet Earth. And Satan goes, I guess I could demand, if you're going to redeem someone, if you're going to buy back someone that belongs to me, I am his spiritual father, and I'm only willing to give up my child that belongs to me if you redeem him, if you buy him back. And in some sense, Satan is like, now, what is that? What's Joe's soul worth? Well, Satan is thinking, well, you know, if I say I want 200 million planet suns size of gold, how easy would it be for God to give Satan 200 million sun size planets of gold? How easy would that be for God? Just say the word and there it would be. So Satan's like, no, it can't be something like that. If you want to buy a soul, you want to redeem a soul back from me, it's going to cost you, God. It's going to cost you big time. So what? And so it can't be silly stuff like gold, silver, diamonds. And it's got to be something that's going to hurt. It's got to be something that's really, you know, you probably won't even do it. And you know what it was, right? What's it say there? 1 Peter 1:18. Verse 18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Yeah. The redemption, the buyback cost for us was the most precious thing in God's mind, and it was the blood of Christ. Now, I happen to believe, I'm one of these that believe, that Satan literally thought that he was going to, that the Son of God was going to die. I think Satan was completely fooled and did not realize that the Son of God could die but had the power to resurrect himself. And so I think Satan was completely astonished. I think he thought he had the victory when the Son of God died on the cross. I think Satan was like, oh yeah, yeah, it cost you. Now you know the pain. Yeah, so I think Satan was 3 days later, he was like, whoa! God has the power to resurrect himself. You'll have to read John chapter 5, that God the Father gave Jesus Christ the power to resurrect himself. So the cost of adoption is very great for each one of us. God was willing to give his son, his most precious, and they agreed to this. Before even we were created, the Father and Son got together and realized what the cost of redemption would be. Well, come to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, when you're adopted, you get a new name. Verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear what? That name. And I kind of view this as this is our new last name that we get. So like my two sisters, what do you think their last name is? Toomey. And in fact, I can't even tell you what their last name was when they were 7 and 8 years old. I have no idea. I just know they have a new name. And their new name is Toomey, okay? And so, same with us. When I got adopted, I got a new name. And there it is. My name is Christian. I am a follower of Christ. I belong to the Christian family of God. Come to Hebrews chapter 12. And I know I got to zoom here. With my new father, he disciplines me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons and daughters. My son, my daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son or daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. One of the roles of an earthly father, of course, is to discipline his kids. If you love your children, you discipline them. It's not that you're doing it because you want to take revenge or hurt them. You want them, we want all of our children, you discipline them because you want them to grow up and be successful and to choose the right course in life. Now, our fathers are, you know, we're not perfect. My dad wasn't perfect in disciplining me, although I appreciate, looking back, yeah, I appreciate 99% of the discipline I got from my father. And I know I haven't been perfect in disciplining my children. But I was thinking about, now that I belong, now that I got adopted into this new family, God, the Father, came to me and said, now, Joe, you're my son. You've been adopted into my family. You have a new name. You're sharing in the inheritance. And I'm going to discipline you. And sometimes it's going to hurt, but I don't want you to lose heart. I'm not disciplining you just to punish you or to hurt you. I'm disciplining you for your own good. I want you to share in my holiness. I want you to become like Jesus. I want you to grow in love. I want you to be effective and productive. And you will see someday when I show you, when you look back on your life, you're going to see, wow, that was good. I loved you so much to discipline you in your life. I thought about Satan. When my spiritual father was Satan, I think Satan doesn't discipline anyone. I think Satan raises spoiled brats. I think Satan says to all his kids, do whatever you want. Oh, you want to run out in the street, play in front of the cars? Go ahead. Oh, you want to live for money and that's all you want? I'm for you. I think Satan raises spoiled brats, never disciplines because he doesn't care, and he knows that everyone will wreck their life when you have no discipline. John chapter 1. Let me just close with this. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, and that's talking about Jesus, yet to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. That's so exciting. To all of us who believe in his name, who receive Jesus into our heart, God gives us the right to become children of God. We get adopted into God's family. So for Father's Day, usually I preach a sermon on, you know, we should be good fathers and loving to our children and all this. But I thought today, I thought, you know what? I want to honor my spiritual father that adopted me into his family because it's been really an amazing adoption. It's been a wonderful, it's a wonderful family to be part of. And so I have to ask you, do you know that you're a child of the Father? Does the Holy Spirit witness to your spirit, yes, God is my Father? When you pray, you go Dad. You go Father, because you have that intimate relationship. Or do you not have that witness where you're not sure that you've been adopted into God's family? If you're not sure, oh man, it's so simple. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. You just need to receive Jesus into your life. You need to, he paid the price. It's up to you now. You're like these teenagers. I've been in court, and sometimes I cry in tears, like, how could you make that decision? And sometimes it's tears of joy when you're like, but you're, the Holy Spirit is wooing you. Satan is scaring you, but you kind of get to make that decision. Do you want to be adopted into the love of an amazing God? So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And if you're here this morning and you would like to make this Father's Day one of the most special Father's Days in your life by coming to God and saying, I want to be adopted into your family, and God will become your dad, your spiritual dad. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I'm going to invite you to pray along with me, and this is kind of like a court hearing. And if you pray this prayer, yet to all who received him, to those who believe on the name of Jesus, God will give you the right to become a son or daughter of the Lord, of God. So I'll pray a prayer out loud. You pray along with me silently. And you can make this Father's Day the day you get adopted into God's family. I'll pray out loud. You pray silently. God, I come to you. And I know I haven't had a personal relationship with you. I have followed the gods of this world. But I thank you that you sent your only son to die on the cross to pay for my redemption. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I open the door of my heart and ask that Jesus Christ would come into my life. I want to be adopted by you. I want you to be my Abba Father. I want you to be more than just God. I want to have a personal relationship with you. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, I get to share your home in heaven. And thank you that I have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.